And it's Tuesday morning. It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane, business and politics. We're both here, of course. And if you're just joining us, hey, why not take a second, hit the subscribe button. It's down in the corner, right down there, you know, and you can click on it, and nothing will happen to you. No emails, nothing will. You're making a lot of noise. You're making a lot of noise.
Oh, okay.
Stop making noise. And ring the notification bell, like us, and by all means, do all that stuff. And if you like to support us monetarily, Patreon is the way to do it. There's a link in the description below on both YouTube and on our replays. And we're brought to you by StreamYard. I can do it. You can do it. Anyone can do it. It is amazingly easy to use, as you can tell, because, yeah, I can use it. All right. Today, while we're trying to get Shane in place, let's talk about our topic today, and that would be a trillion computer chips. Where the hell are they, Shane?
It's an amazing story. There's so many different angles to it. Like, mm-hmm. who's the largest producer? Because there's basically two chips, right? There's a logic chip and a memory chip. But you know, it's fascinating to realize that last year, 2020, or this year, they'll ship 1.15 trillion semiconductor memory and chips as well as the logic chips. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're told by the media and government that the price of chips is going up, and one of the reasons things are stalled in the supply chain is jammed up is there's no chips and they can't produce cars. And it turns out just not the case. Oddly enough, though, the car manufacturer need for chips is basically the biggest the biggest user for chips in cars is Tesla, over 1,000 chips per car. So wow. You start making 1 million or 3 million cars with 1,000 chips a car. Of course, that's going to cause the process to go up. And the more people producing electric cars, guess what? No more memory chips and so forth, right? The more of anything causes the price to go up. So logic and memory chips become a very intense item.
Yeah.
The other side that's so fascinating to this is how you measure it.
Okay. How do you measure it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, like the largest semiconductor.
Don't leave me hanging, man.
But the largest semiconductor companies or manufacturer of semiconductors is Intel. Oddly enough, back in 2020, $78 billion, and of course the second is Samsung. Their revenue is $54 billion. And of all,
they're South Korea for the benefit of people.
South Korea, and then Taiwan. Mm-hmm. No wonder Russia wants or China wants them. Mm-hmm. And then you have to get to SK Hynix, which is Chinese, and then Broadcom Corporation. Qualcomm is big. Qualcomm makes $32 billion a year just opening their door from patents. And when you think about patents, you have to look at the Semiconductor Chip Protection Act of 1984. This is another reason why it makes no sense of what the government is saying and, we have to do something to protect it. They've already done it. They did it in 1984, the Semiconductor Chip Protection Act. And oddly enough, this was enacted to clearly protect the manufacturing in the United States, but it surpasses the patent company. The United States, because the Chinese and Asians were just ignoring U.S. patents. The copyright
and law, still are.
And still are. So
yeah.
This SCPA, as it's called, is codified in Title 17 of the Copyright Act passed by Congress. But it's not a copyright or patent law. It's a sugenri law, or a unique law representing a unique model. So it's a very unique piece of legislation, and it has allowed major corporations to go after people cheating. And in U.S. courts, they've been obviously very successful. It hasn't hindered people in any way, of course, because, you know, a lot of people just, they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some thoughts from listeners. Apple supplier Foxconn's building in Wisconsin. Intel's got one in Israel. And Biden wants to put part of it in his bill. So, yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, it's where I should get my Oscar Mayer whistle out, because it's another dog whistle.
Yeah.
because it, basically the issue is, you know, it's supply and demand. The control, mm-hmm. the need for more chips in this year alone will grow over last year's need by 20%. No. So it's not a shortage of production as much as it is, you know, just the supply and demand. By the way, one of the largest chip makers in the world by volume is IBM. And then the number two, of course, is Intel. So America has a very large part in all of this. They're, you know, their prices are just more, you know, they charge more. You know, they outproduce, but they don't sell as many because they're more expensive, and you can get cheaper ones in Taiwan and South Korea and China.
Yeah. Well, the big question, what if supply suddenly stopped? What if China invades Taiwan? What if North Korea goes into South Korea and, I don't know, a tornado takes Intel out, or a hurricane or something?
Or a fire.
Or a fire, or whatever. Yeah. What happens then?
Well, you're going to have a serious problem. You know, of course. It comes down to availability. But a lot of companies have bought forward. Like, the reason Tesla is still manufacturing, although he's warned that he may have production problems this year or in the next year because of the need of chips. But a lot of companies like Tesla, Ford, bought forward. They have smart CEOs and chief operating officers that...
True, yeah.
That, you know, foresee the future. It's the same thing as buying, air fuel, ahead for mm-hmm. the airline industry that, you know, has saved a lot of airlines huge losses because, you know, they're still consuming
fuel they bought at a lower price.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by contract, you know, a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, that's the way to do it, and that's why people have a hard time understanding why gas goes up and down so slowly when the price of oil goes a little faster. So that's one of the reasons that people think ahead in some cases. So
yeah, that's right. Like, so, you have to look at this, too. I mean, people, you know, you ask people about phones, for mm-hmm. example. You know, I have a Samsung 10S, and never bought a Apple because I just always thought they were way overpriced. I mean, mm-hmm. why? By the way, Samsung's the largest producer of cell phones in the world.
Mm-hmm. I've got one too. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're great phones, and they produce like over 80% of all screens for mm-hmm. phones and TVs in the world. So Samsung's it's a rickety little company. I mean, it's out there, baby. It's getting the job done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know about this. Labor's why so many companies go offshore, $5 a day Chinese versus 30 here. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not sure I believe that, because I think that was true when it was more manual labor and more people, did simple tasks. But if you're running something that creates computer chips, you're not making $5 a day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Labor always has been an issue now for, since 94, when Clinton allowed the Chinese, you know, into mm-hmm. the participation of the different global community review, mm-hmm. you know, review, you know, situation. Yeah, and opened up the market even bigger than, you mm-hmm. know, the famous Nixon approach. But in some ways, that's, it's been a good thing because it's created competition. And we'd probably be spending a lot more, sadly, if it wasn't for China because of the low cost of things. And mm-hmm. I hate to have to say that, but, it, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if you want to, there's a lot to be upset about with China, but the one thing, yeah. you know, is that products are a lot cheaper, therefore, or ergo, you know, mm-hmm. we pay less for it. And that's what capitalism is, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what it all comes down to. So,
yeah.
Well, more than likely with inflation, supply chain disruption, all the things that are happening today, Shane, these things are only going to increase in price, you know, the more, the fewer of something, the more it costs normally.
Yeah, and, that's right.
You know, you were talking about Tesla's 1,000 chips per car. So yeah, the, well, not only car, but chips are in our phones, are in our, TVs, are in virtually everything that we use today. Almost everything is run by computers. And if those go, you know, we're SOL.
That's right. So just to give everyone an idea, you know, a Texas Instrument chip can be 63 cents to $1.50. Amazon sells electronic chips for $32. And a Logic 8 Red chip, which it's pretty much the more fancy, $649. So, you know, yeah. you're talking about 63 cents to $650 for these chips. It's a horse race, baby.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a Logitech camera looking at me right now, so.
That's right. How logical is that?
How logical is that? yes, right, so. Well, we got to talk a little bit about, I guess, you know, what's the next thing that's going to replace computer chips? You know, we had the 8-track, and then we went to cassettes, and then we went to CDs, and then we went to streaming off, you know, off the internet, getting our music and stuff out of the air. So I can't believe that computer chips are the end of the line for what they produce. So there's got to be a future
right.
somewhere down the line.
It's a great question and a great, you know, overview, because the bottom line is biological. I mean, it's going to be something like a cell chip, you know, mm-hmm. it'll be a actual living type of chip. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the horrific issues that we have to face
yeah.
is the fear of an electromagnetic, you know, pulse.
Mm-hmm.
That can be caused by a dirty bomb, like a dirty nuclear bomb in a city.
Oh, yeah.
Or it can be caused by sunspots, like a massive sunspot. Not 99%. Of the electronic world is not hardened, meaning less than 1 to 4% of everything that we need in this century of great technology is basically totally exposed to being literally shut down.
Yeah.
So electromagnetic impulse is something created by a nuclear explosion. And aside mm-hmm. from the explosion itself, it sends out this electronic pulse that's high frequency, and the high frequency causes circuits to literally burn out, you know, fry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like burning toast, right?
If you ever saw the movie Arrow, where I can't remember the two guys offhand, anyway, they're trying to recover nuclear bombs, and they set off an electronic pulse to get rid of the helicopters that are following them.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
But the bottom line is that, you know, you basically send a man back to literally the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, without power, because it would shut down the grid, you know, within a year, 90% of the U.S., to give you an example, 90% of the United States, the U.S. population would die.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? You're 32 million and Canada would be 3 million, so to speak.
Yeah. So, like I say, look at it. Look at all the chips in hospitals. I mean, everything.
Oh yeah,
almost everything you run. We'd be health wise, money wise, mathematics wise, you know, whatever, whatever makes the world spin, your money would be worthless at Walmart because nobody could check you out.
Well, you couldn't get any. I mean, there's nowhere to get it. No ATMs would work. You couldn't use a credit card. So guess what? You know, the only thing you could, that Walmart would be left to accept would be money if they wanted, or silver coins. That's why I keep harping about, if you're going to buy something as a defense, buy silver, but buy coins. Don't buy.
Well, I don't even think they could take money because they have no idea what the products on the tray are, or what the prices of the pickles are.
Nothing will be priced.
Chips. Yeah, they got to have the they got to have the computer chip scanner to figure
everything
all that
would
out.
Have to be hand priced. You know, because there'd be no ability to price or a manufacturer label. I mean, you stop and think about literally everything in your day that you depend on to enjoy this managed lifestyle we have in North America, for the most part, and how exposed it is to oil, gas, electricity, computer chips, as we're talking about today. All these things, just the dependency is horrific. We'd all turn out to be, you know, 2-month-old babies, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's where we'd be. We'd be wandering around like zombies, you know.
That's right.
Feed me.
You know, and then anarchy sets in because the neighbor wants to feed their kids. And
that's true. Yeah.
And everybody with a gun starts being powerful. You know, you're right back in, as I said, at least 400 or 500 years ago, probably more, 1,000. You know, man falls back a millennium because of it. And all these things we're talking about, just as an example, an electronic magnetic pulse set off by a nuclear explosion in space, even just over the North American continent, which you could determine whether you decide it's an act of war or not. You better react because you won't be able to, although all the military installations in our countries are hardened. So, of course, they would be able to retaliate because of that. But, you know, it could happen from space. And all the transformers that you see on telephone poles, you know, there's over 100,000 in North America.
Oh, yeah.
80% of them are manufactured in China, Taiwan, and South Korea. There's no stock or inventory of them, which there should be underground, you know, shielded. And because it would take, even if you had the 100,000 transformers, it would take you at least 10 years to physically replace all of them that are out there. So guess what, folks? An EMP and chips are gone. The electric.
Yeah, everything would be gone.
You're back to firewood and, you know, maybe gas, propane stoves for a while. But
Yeah, be sad. Well, also, too, they're talking about sticking 5G on every telephone pole in America, so that would all go away.
None of that would happen. They'd all be fried, too.
Yeah, they'd all be fried, too. So, communication would be an issue, food would be an issue, transportation, you know, the whole thing would collapse. You know, people talk about collapsing our money supply. All you gotta do is money be useless if you just try and you could fry everything else, it'd be easier than trying to manipulate the money supply, at least in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, this wouldn't end up being a depression, it'd end up being an extinction event, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Because millions would starve, certainly.
And the incredible thing about this too, and I just want to throw this in, you know, they keep talking on the media, which is a great reason you and I do this podcast. What do you think the singular greatest thing people's worried about? A nuclear war. Okay. What's the next one? Oh, another pandemic or that's worse. You know, what's in the starvation? That's what, none of these compare to, you know, the suddenness of a major sunspot that could happen. Last one was in like 1888. Yeah. They've been keeping records on sunspots because we've talked about it since the 1600s. So,
yeah, they couldn't use the tin cannon string in 1888 anymore after that pulse.
And, you know, and everyone worries that, an asteroid, you know, or a major meteor. You know, folks, you know, man's own ability to create electric impulse is greater than nature's. And it should be at the top of the list of things we worry about. And don't hear conversations about it. No, you know, no one really wants to talk about it.
Well, you know, also too, if we want to go into the same vein there, I don't want to get too far afield here, but I lost my train of thought.
Well, you didn't want to get too far afield of chips.
Trying to run the thing here, and yeah, also working on trying to keep my brain active. So,
A semiconductor chip, for those that don't know, is an electronic circuit with many components such as transistors and wiring formed on a semiconductor wafer. Now, the reason I mention this is it's about the size of a stamp or a large stamp, you know, from a small stamp to a large stamp.
Yeah, we got a picture of one. So.
And you know how thin it is because you have a phone and a computer. And this stuff is all done under highly, purified air and manufacturing procedures. And it's all done by microscopic development, and I wouldn't call it welding, but printing. So it's a incredibly expensive process requiring billion-dollar manufacturing facilities, because humans are great contaminants, so they have to all be shielded, gloves and hazmat, chip suits, and a negative air environment.
Static free, all that stuff.
And so all of this has to be done basically within a sealed building, and they make a trillion of them. It's incredible. The brilliance of mankind and his ability, and of course, who led the way on all this? Intel. They really did. The leaps they made have just been
Back in the 80s, when the computers first got started, that was the power and memory and everything else was a concern, and of course the chip solved that problem.
That's right. And Broadcom Corporation, since the 80s, like you said, they ran up so many or developed so many patents. Of course, of which a lot, the Intel. And so, like I said, they don't even open doors, and they make $32 billion a year from, patent revenues that they have. True. And but they're also a producer of them. You look at all these things, and I have to say, with the market we're watching, these are the kind of stocks you want to keep an eye on. Not now. Because, people, everyone keeps telling you, you should look at the price of this. It's cheap. Yeah, it's cheap. But I'm sorry, folks, they're just a discount right now. They're going to get a lot cheaper in the next 6 months. So don't listen to these dough heads on TV. Just sit back and watch. And then just do some basic research on, the impact of a company that you purchased. That makes something. It's got to be something that actually makes something.
Right? That's true. Yeah. Well, I agree with Jamie Dimon.
He agrees with us. Stop. See, Jamie Dimon agrees with us. Okay.
Yeah, so he does. Yeah, he does agree with us. You're right. Yeah.
We talked about this hurricane a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a tsunami recession headed our way. This summer is going to be. Gas already reached $8 in California, and inflation's rivaling what it was in 1980s, and so we don't have a Reagan to pull us out of it. So
we have a doughhead, of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, instant change in the market. First of all, two things because it's important. Apple, as you know, is one of the biggest consumers. We talked about it.
Yeah.
But right now Amazon, they just split 20-1. They're at $125. This is something you should pick up, but watch it because it's still overpriced. It should go down further. So anybody out there that's young and listens to us, buy 100 shares. Whenever it dips down below $100, buy if you can buy another 100, but that's it. Mm-hmm. And then register it.
Yeah.
You know, the minute you register it, have them mail it to you and put it away, you'll retire a millionaire.
Yeah.
The next one coming up is next month is Google. They're doing a 20 for one.
Mm-hmm.
Same issue. Don't buy it right away because it'll be splitting in the midst of the chaos that'll be coming.
Yeah.
So it will drop off. And then mm-hmm. make sure you buy 100 or 200 shares of it, register it, put it away, and definitely that'll happen. Now, the word on the street is that, and of course we called this before, but Tesla, mm-hmm. you know, Musk, our good friend Tesla, Elon Musk is looking at splitting Tesla. If he does that, 10, 20 to 1, whatever, definitely you want to buy like 100 or 200 shares, you know, at $100 or less if you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, 1,000 shares at $100, 100 grand, but that doesn't matter. You know, if you bought 1,000 shares of any of these, you know, you'd be a multimillionaire today. But again, with 100 shares, you know, in 30, 40 years, these are going to be the, they'll still be around if we are.
I think so. Well, they're predicting. Yeah.
If the world's around.
They'll be around.
Tesla and Google will be around in 30, 40, 50 years. Yeah. You'll retire wealthy. So.
Yeah. Well, they're predicting that Amazon's going to pass Walmart as the largest retailer, probably in 2025 or 26, somewhere in there. These companies aren't going to leave, and unfortunately, they're all going to need chips to keep in business or to stay in business. So, not a fun thing to think about if these chip things are disrupted, and they already are, because we've seen that cars are waiting for chips and they can't get them.
Well, and look, 80% of North America's electricity, or over 82, is natural gas and coal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $12 trillion in the last 10 years has been spent on windmills and, sun arrays.
Yeah.
12 trillion. Mm-hmm. And they account for, you know, less than 4% of the North America grid, less than 2% of world electricity production. 2%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't, it doesn't matter how many trillions you spent on solar panels or windmills, you'll never produce enough electricity for the needs of the world or our civilization. Just, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so, nuclear is the only answer that's going to replace fossil fuel, and that's prohibitive.
Or something else.
Right now nuclear is prohibitive because of all the regulations and the safety issues and the liability.
Some form of power from hydrogen, which Power Electronics of Australia, go read about it, you'll learn about it, pay attention. Yeah, look, semiconductors, of course, are a big part of solar panels and windmills.
And they are.
When you talk that $12 trillion has been spent on building these, you know, you're talking, you know, probably several hundred thousand per windmill, and certainly a couple of hundred dollars worth of chips for every solar panel that's been made.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thanks for driving the price up.
Yeah. Thanks
we're basically nothing, honey.
Yeah. Thanks for inflation. We're very pleased with that. So
that's the only, I'm not trying to do a segue here. I'm just trying to use it as an example of why the prices of chips have gone up. Wasteful use. I mean, you think of that.
That's for sure.
And then, of course, no one recovers any of them from used computer equipment, whether it's a laptop or a large computer or a cell phone or pads. They just toss the whole thing away, and they don't try to recover any of these things. You know, they melt them down in Asia because that's
You might be able to recover a little silver and gold, but that's about it.
Well, that's where it all goes. Yeah. You know, we talk about silver being an industrial metal, one of the biggest uses is for chips and gold as well, but principally silver is a better conductor than gold.
That's right. All right. We got to remind you of the award-winning Tom and Shane. We're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time on Saturdays. Listen live, KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click to listen now. You don't need to leave any personal information. You don't need an email. You don't need to join anything. You don't need to do anything except listen. I mean, I know that's a strain, but geez, what could be easier? KMMSAM.com. Get over there. And if you want a sample of our past shows, they're at KMMSAM.com too. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast and you'll be taken to that link and you can listen to us. We've got over 8,000 episodes or 8,000 downloads, 700 and some shows. So including these will be up as well. So why not? I mean, come
on. And all these shows have been done and we do it every day without reading from a monitor. We just look into a camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not scripted. Heaven forbid. No. So I don't.
Yeah. We just sort of go where both of us leads us and mm-hmm. we try to respond to each other equally and fairly. So we try to do the fair time play.
Oh,
but I tend to rant a lot, but not the Eagle Man. He's a
cool I've got too much to do here to run this thing.
Producer, comment. Director, right. The host. I mean, he's got it all, baby.
Yeah. So don't forget, hey, we do this with StreamYard, and it's easy to do in spite of what I'm talking about. It ain't that hard, folks, if I can do it. So. If you want to make things like this on your own, you know, you can make a little money on YouTube and some other areas. So if you want to make your own videos on YouTube or whatever and illuminate the masses as we do, then hey, it's a piece of cake. And there's a description or a link to the description below. They got a free version you can use and it's pretty cool. So. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we have another podcast. We're here every Tuesday, every Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Like us. Leave a comment. YouTube likes all that kind of stuff. So, Shane, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you, good sir.
All right. And we will see you on our next podcast on Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time.